turn this on. Yeah, this I didn't put this up to show you guys. It's just the background on my computer right now. Yeah. All right, let's pray. Lord, we want to trust the time to you. We worship you and confess Jesus as our Lord. And Lord, over this time, we pray our hearts would be quiet before you and open to you. Lord, we pray you would meet with us and speak to us. Also, use your word to speak beyond the words tonight and get very specific into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to be in 1 John chapter 1. And starting in verse 5, let me get this up here first. Yeah, here we go. Okay, now, we are talking about walking in the light. You see I have all these footprints? It looks like a bad dance floor. But there's a reason for most of these looking the way that they look. But there's this phrase in 1 John 1 and 2, and it's this phrase, walk in the light, or walking in the light. It also is reversed to be walk in darkness, like if we walk in darkness, or if we walk in the light. And this is the main thing we want to look at today. Before we get into the actual walking, let's see. Can you guys see this text okay? I mean, of course now, but can you see that? Can you see that?
Yeah.
Do your chairs need to be closer? Or you guys are all okay, right? You have glasses on if you need them. Okay. All right. This is 1 John 1:5. He's beginning the letter. At the very beginning, he's talking about eternal life. And this is the thing he wants to share. This is the first four verses. Earlier, the few of us that were here earlier, we actually read this passage in chapter 1 and a little bit in chapter 2. But once he starts to share his main message, he in 1 John, in the letter of 1 John, if you ever read it, you have to notice he always begins his point with something about God. So, for example, here he's teaching that God is light. Now, later on in the book, he says God is righteous. And then later on, he says God is love. And the whole point of 1 John is showing us the way of fellowship. And fellowship is when you're sharing something that you have in common. The thing that Christians have in common is eternal life. They've believed on the Lord Jesus. They receive this new life, eternal life. And based on the nature of that life, we share together. So one thing about the nature of eternal life that all who are born again have is that it's the light of life. It's the life with light. It's in this, bound up in this eternal life, there's no darkness at all because God is light. So this is a general concept. Now, another thing here is God is light and we're just walking in the light. Really important to know that we just are taking our steps with like the little bit of light that we have. And he shows us just a little bit. So at the beginning of our walk with the Lord, he gives us some footsteps, some steps to take, some here's where he's shown me. And I walk in that amount of light. But as far as God is concerned, in all his glory and all of all that there is of God, there's no darkness at all. The full measure of God, he can't show to us right away. So he shows a brand new Christian just a little bit. But it's enough to walk in. And if you walk in a little bit, you have fellowship with God. If you just walk in a little bit that he's actually shown you. So, for example, let's just take something like language, the way that you talk. And maybe we have a few things that we would say would be wrong that we can even find from the scriptures. One would be if we're talking bad about others, like in a gossiping way, right? So this would be something wrong with my language. There's other scriptures that, like in Ephesians, it talks about the having coarse jokes, coarse jesting, or foul language is talking about, cursings and things like this. So let's say there's this stuff coming out of someone's mouth. Now, when someone is first saved, I know a few people like this. When I was first saved, it took me a while to deal with some language things or just a way of talking. But when someone is first saved, they can, if they have a little bit of light, let's say the little bit of light that they have is that they should stop some of their curse words. They used to just curse at everything. When they were happy, they cursed because they were happy. And when they were sad, they cursed because they stumped their toe, right? And maybe also they would take the Lord's name in vain. Do you guys know that phrase, the Lord's name in vain? A little weird. But it's one of those commandments where you hurt your finger and what do you say? Oh, what do you guys say? Do you say anything when you hurt your finger? oh, peanut butter. That's what you say. You might say, ouch. Now, some people, suddenly, they start to pray. But they're not really praying. They're just like, God, or they're just like, Jesus Christ. But actually, they're not, you know, of course, they're not talking to Jesus Christ, right? Now, actually, I met some old ladies that hurt themselves. They're like, Jesus Christ! You know, that maybe does happen. There are a few ladies in my church group that when something bad happens, they're like, Jesus! You know, and I'm like, I think they are praying. But if I did that way, it would be like misusing the Lord's name. Now, if you don't know better, and I met a lot of young Christians that didn't know better, they're just used to, that comes out of their mouth when they hurt themselves. But maybe they know something. So the little bit of light at the beginning is, don't curse. Okay, so they start to walk in that light, and they're not cursing, but they're still talking about everybody in a bad way. So they're talking about, did you hear about this girl or hear about this? Or they're just talking evil about others. And then eventually the Lord gives them a couple more steps. He gives them a little more light to shine. And he increases the measure of fellowship. As they read in the Word, maybe they read some Proverbs, and they read that they shouldn't be talking about others in this way. It's actually not even helpful. And as they get convicted about that, they apologize to the Lord. They're like, Lord, I'm going to walk this way now. So from there on, if they walk the old way, they don't fellowship with God. Even though a month ago it was totally fine. Because to fellowship with the Lord only has to do with your amount of light, not his amount of light. If it had to do with his amount of light, none of us would be able to fellowship right now with the Lord. But it's the amount that he's shown you. So now you've seen a little more, maybe a little further on, you see something like not taking the Lord's name in vain. Maybe further on, you stop the unwholesome talk and coarse jokes and stuff like that. Doesn't mean jokes are bad, but some jokes shouldn't be laughed at. Some are so funny, but they're quite evil. But it's so hard not to laugh. But you just start to like bite your inner cheek, and you're like, I'm not going to laugh at that one, right? I don't know if you struggle with this, but I have some funny friends, and they used to tell really bad, funny jokes. And they were so funny. And you were so funny, you'd like pee your pants. You might. But so funny. But I remember when I was first convicted about laughing at bad jokes. I mean, like morally bad jokes, but they were really funny. And my friend would say something, and I'd be like, I'd like turn my head, create a frown, just so I could stop myself from laughing, and I would curl up one of my toes, so that way I could focus on something different. Is that weird? Anyway, my conviction, he would say something and I would just bust out laughing. Afterwards, I was like, I shouldn't be laughing at these evil jokes, actually. And eventually, the Lord gave me, I was able to just not laugh at bad jokes like that. But then maybe you get convicted more and more on different things. But what happens is, the reason I'm bringing this up is, sin is falling short of the glory of God. Like it says in Romans 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, 3:23. So if it's falling short of the glory of God, we all are falling short of the glory of God as far as his full measure. But to walk in the light just has to do with how much of his glory has he shown us. So God is light. Important to know. In him is no darkness at all. Now we're going to talk about walking in the light, though. Not just all that God is, but exactly what he's shown you so that way you can grow and walk further and further. All right, now with walking in the light, as we go on this, we're going to see these sets of footsteps. And there's actually two different options. Let me back out a little bit here. Okay, now I got this dark and light and dark and light and so on. And actually this one is light, you can't see it totally. But these are options. This guy's hopping on one foot, it looks like. But maybe I deleted his foot. These are options. And there's three pairs of situations or scenarios. So it'll say these words in chapter 1. It says, if we do this, or the other option is, but if we do this. So there's these three main scenarios that we're going to look at. And each time there's a walking in the darkness and there's a walking in the light. So that's what we're kind of doing right now. So the first set, the first situation, and even the way to understand these verses is if you pack them together. So starting in now in verse so that was verse 5. So here's 1 John 1:6. If you see the V6 right here, that's what I'm talking about. This is when it uses the phrase, we lie. If we say that we have fellowship with him, but walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. All right, so here's a darkness walking. Now, on the surface, when we read it, it's like, okay, here's somebody being fake. They're acting like they're walking in the light, but they're actually walking in the darkness. Now, I want to give it that surface meaning just to begin with. And then we'll look at the light one, and then we'll combine them together and probably see something that you're going to run into all the time. Because this time tonight, what we want to look at is a little bit more advanced in walking in the light. It's actually to help us just maintain our walk. It's imagine not always coming back into the light, not always being revived, always like in darkness coming to the light with the Lord and getting forgiven of sins because you've been far and distant. But imagine just hanging out there and actually walking step by step in the light. So that's the thought, is that our walk is in the light. Whether it's a mistake or not that you make it in the light. And your whole pathway is always in the light. So the options of walking in darkness or light are so important. The same scenario may happen, the same exact situation, but you have the choice. Do I take this situation in the light or do I take it in the darkness? Now, of course, if we are lying, we know that's walking in the darkness. And so on a surface reading of this, we could see people that are fake and saying, yes, I'm fellowshipping with him, and actually they're walking in darkness. But it has this phrase right here, they do not practice the truth. And so I think it has something a little more specific for us. But let's look in the light section of this. Instead, now this guy's hopping on one foot. I think his foot got moved over somewhere. Instead, we could actually have fellowship. But if we walk in the light, this is verse 7. As God is in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So here's the thing to notice with this. The order is messed up. What normally happens is we get cleansed by the blood and then we have fellowship, right? Let's say we're not cleansed by the blood, we'd have no fellowship. So I think in our experiences, we would flip this around. It would say, if the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us, then we walk in the light as he is in the light, and then we have fellowship with one another. Does that sound true? Wouldn't that be correct? Like the blood cleanses us, then we're walking in the light, then we have fellowship. Are you guys with me? It's not a trick question. That's like a true experience. But in this case, it's backwards on purpose. In this case, you're already walking in the light as God is in the light. You're having fellowship. So let's say right now, you're in a discussion time right now, and you're sharing, someone else is sharing, you're receiving from each other. You're all walking in the light already. There's nothing wrong. There's no known sin. There's no steps that the Lord showed me that I'm not walking in. But when you fellowship, what happens is you share life together. And while you share life, the light increases. So a natural experience that happens when we fellowship with each other, with Christians, is that our measure of light gets larger. And then you have a choice. You either walk in the light with that or you turn to the darkness. So if you walk in the light, though, after having fellowship with one another, suddenly the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from every sin. So here's how this works. We're here talking, and now someone shares with me that not only all these negative things about my words, but I should also seek to have words that are edifying and that are helpful for others. And as they're saying this, some conviction that this person had, the Lord speaks to me also and says, when you're praying for your friends, you should ask me if there are some words that you could share, some helpful words or something like this. So I think not only all this negative stuff the Lord has shown me in my footsteps about my language, but now he shows me something positive through fellowship. And my friend, and now I realize I should have wholesome words, but I should have helpful words, encouraging words. I should bring some words, not just stop all my words. It's not about the do nots. It's actually now the Lord showed me a do, something really good. And as I receive that and I say, Lord, I want to walk in that. It doesn't always come out in these words. Usually it's just like, oh, like that. And you're like, yes. And suddenly the blood washes the darkness away. Now, what's the darkness here? The darkness is my old measure. My old measure of walking was just all those don'ts. Don't say bad words. Don't say this kind of word. Don't gossip. Don't whatever. And there was a little bit of lack of light, which was say something helpful, say something encouraging. So as I receive that fellowship, the blood takes away my lack of God's glory, my darkness, and I'm cleansed. This is a different blood cleansing experience than the one that we'll look at next, which is confessing your sins and the blood cleanses you. It's all to do with darkness and sin. It's all to do with the blood washing us clean. We're never cleansed by anything else besides the blood of the Lord Jesus as far as our sins being cleansed. But in this case, there is repentance, but it doesn't look like the repentance when you repent from doing something you did that you know about. It's the repentance unto something beyond what you knew before. It's a change of mind. It's a change of direction. It's still like, I'm going to go the Lord's way and not go the other way. But it's a brand new thing, and it comes from fellowship. So when a brand new thing is set before you and you go for it and you take the step and say, I'm going to yield to the Lord's way, the blood washes you clean from your old ways. Does that make sense? That's the choice of walking in the light. Now let's go back to the other choice, the other way, walking in darkness. I think this makes a little more sense. If we're in that situation where we're fellowshipping, this is your most common time to lie. Not because you're lying at the moment. Here's the time that it's lying. Saying that we have fellowship with him but walk in darkness. We do not practice the truth. We lie and do not practice the truth. So here's the experience. This person says that. You kind of see that is an upgrade from where I've been. That is something further for me to walk into. Like, I know that, but you actually make the decision to pause that conviction. You say, no, and you're not, there's nothing wrong. I haven't sinned. I haven't done anything that I know is wrong. I'm sitting here in a discussion group. Someone shares and the Lord's trying to increase my light. And I say, let's pause on that. What I'm doing right there is I'm not going to practice that truth. Instead, I'm going to say that I walk in the light. I have been walking in the light, but I'm not walking in my new full measure of light. And instead, actually, technically, I'm lying. I sit here looking like I'm receiving, I'm nodding my head, I'm listening like, ooh, yeah, I'm doing all those things. And it seems like I'm having fellowship, but their life does not get received by me. And I don't really fellowship. Someone shares where they're at with the Lord and it just bounces back off of me because I hit the pause button. I hit the not yet. I'm not ready for that yet. And fellowship stops. I'm lying. I'm walking in darkness. I'm not walking in darkness according to what the Lord has shown me in the past. I'm walking in darkness according to what he now has shown me. And because I'm hiding from this new thing. This is why some people don't like to fellowship. They don't like to like get around and talk with another believer about anything to do with the Lord. They like to talk, but just about like things that they're interested in otherwise, hobbies or movies or sports or games or things going on with school or whatever. But when you fellowship with others, I don't know how many times you get experiences like this, but of course, if we have a believer friend, we can do this all the time. If we will receive from each other, we get to walk in the light and be cleansed by the blood all the time. So here's what it feels like. Here's what it seems like. When you're talking with a friend and they share something, you're like, oh, that's good. You suddenly feel uplifted and brighter, in a sense, spiritually speaking. You feel like, I just stepped into some joy of the Lord. It's the joy of fellowship. Actually, what just happened is your darkness just got washed away because you said, I'm going to walk in that new light. All right, so that's this package. The first scenario is because of fellowship, the Lord wants to increase your light. You could either lie and pause that and reject it and act like you're walking in the light, but really you're walking in your old light. And old light is actually darkness. Or you could walk in the light and have fellowship and the blood cleanses us from all sin. So this is one experience of the blood cleansing us from sin, bringing us into maturity. Okay, now let's go to the next set, starting with the negative part. So this is verse 8, just the next verse along the line in 1 John 1. In this one, we're not lying. We're actually lying to ourselves. We are deceiving ourselves. So beginning with this, it says in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If you're reading this chapter, you'll notice almost this exact phrase happens in verse 10. I'll skip over to it just to show you. It's really almost the same thing. Here we are. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Okay, you with me? So remember this. We have not sinned. It's got the ED in here. We have not sinned. We make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Okay, let's go back. Sorry if you're getting dizzy. Okay. This time it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Okay, let's contrast. What's different here? What do you guys think? What just changed from verse 8 to verse 10? Go ahead.
Verse 10 says something about, like,
yeah, that's right. This one, we deceive ourselves. That one, we make God a liar. We call God a liar. What else? Yes, that's right. This one, we have no sin, and that one is we have not sinned. Go ahead.
This was in verse 8.
Ooh, that's deep. There's one more thing that's a little bit different. Go ahead. Yes, do you have that one memorized or something? Because it just was on me. That's good. Yeah, this one, the truth is not in us, and that one, his word is not in us. Let me go back to it just to get you dizzy again. Here we go. His word is not in us. We make him a liar. This is the capital H. I should have changed it. We have not sinned. Okay. All right. Now back to 8. These are very similar. They're a little bit different, though. Okay. Here we go. There's a difference with, it's scripturally speaking, with like sin and then sins or sinned. So to have not sinned is very specific about a single action of sin. But to have no sin is like you have no problem of sin. It's more of the entity of sin, more of like, I'm okay, I'm doing well, I don't have this major sin problem within me. But when it has, I have not sinned, and someone said, that was a sin, and you say, no, that was not a sin. So right here, the truth is not in us, because actually we're all deceived. The other one, his word is not in us, because God is speaking and saying, he's convicting, and he comes to you and says, this is a sin. This is how it comes to your conscience. You feel like something that you said or something that you did or something that you neglected. Ready? Hey.
Sorry for the interruption.
You okay? Oh, yeah. You going to join us for the rest of the time?
Could I?
Yeah. Yeah, welcome. Okay. All right. My name's Jeffrey. What's your name? Okay, nice to meet you. You too. Go ahead. Can I move this up? What? You can tell that it's not working? Oh, he likes to. He likes to complain about it. Okay. All right. Philip just said that Gideon likes to complain about the money. All right. Now, let's do the surface idea of this one first. I know this is a lot of, like, it seems like nerdy, study-ish type of stuff, but I think this is what we're going to get into with these three sets is stuff that helps us actually walk regularly and stay in the light. Okay, so on the surface reading, we can see if someone says they have no sin problem, obviously that person is deceived in their mind, right? If you were to sit here and say, I'm like someone who's never sinned, you know, like I am Jesus or something like this, right? Of course, you're deceived, you know. And you might meet somebody that says, and actually, there are some deceptive teachings out there where people feel like, I have no sin problem. Now, what do they do when they actually start sinning a bunch of times? They just call it different names. They're like, that wasn't a sin, that was just a mistake. Or, that wasn't a sin, that was just a character flaw, right? But a sin is a sin. A sin is the, you know, something that's not righteous, something that's not of the Lord like that. So on the surface, you could see this and say, well, obviously. And I think the reason I say this is on the surface is because this is probably not at all what you guys ever do. You probably never say, guys, I have no sin problem. You know, that would be way deceived. And I don't think that's the deception here. I think the deception here is something that happens to us all the time. The truth is not in us. For the truth to actually be in us would be another experience. So let's look at the next experience. Let's look at the walking in the light. This is a pair. Remember, I said there's two options here. So here's our second pair. That was the dark way of walking. Here's the light way of walking. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Probably like my favorite verse right here to use to help people to come to Christ. But this is for Christians. This is for Christians that are walking in the light. And this is actually, although I use this all the time to help us come to the light, this is for someone who's walking in the light, like, regularly, who lands their footsteps in the pathway of light moment by moment. Now, what would that look like if you walked a whole week in the light? What are you going to do when you make mistakes? This is the problem that we have with walking in the light. This is actually probably one of the biggest things that stops us believers from walking in the light. We think when we sin that that means we have to walk in darkness. We think when we sin we need to go a certain pathway and eventually come back into the light. But I can tell you, when you mess up and when you sin, you land your sin foot in the path of light and you keep walking. And this is how it works. You confess your sins. As soon as the sin happens, you've messed up, you've failed, it is a sin, there was no need for the sin. We'll read in chapter 2, verse 1, I write these things to you so you would not sin. It is possible to not sin with the new life that we have. But when we do sin, we confess that sin immediately. This is to do with sins that we know about. Remember, we were talking about the measure of our light. So this is, I've got this amount of light, and I'm walking, and I take a step below my light, and I sin. But when I take that step, and my step just landed in some dog stuff, but land that on the clean path of light, and suddenly you find out the blood washes me clean. Now, how do I land it on the path of light? You know, the path of darkness hides, is darkness, obviously. When I landed on light, it's, my shoe is so dirty with dog stuff, right? When it's on the path of light, it's known for what it is. Whether you smell it or not, you see it because it's in the light. And as you see it, you say, oh, my shoe has dog things on it. Right? I don't know what's a better word than things. Well, okay. Yes. Yeah, this is, okay. And as you name it for what it is, dog stuff, suddenly the shoe cleaning happens. And next thing you know, as that confession comes out of your mouth, because God is faithful and righteous, our sins are forgiven and our sins are washed clean. It has to do with bringing it into the light and exposing it and naming it as a sin. When we don't call it a sin and we're just like, oh, I had a bad day, or oh, I didn't do what I really thought would have been the best. You know what we're doing is we're not confessing it as a sin. But if we say, Lord, I could have done the right thing, I did sin. There's something special about that confession. Just like, this was a sin. This is dog stuff. Instead of, this is potential manure for my garden, right? It's a whole other mindset. Just like, you know, you just start walking in the grass a little bit and rubbing it around, and then you can go with it. This happens in my backyard with Courage. The dog, he does pretty well where he has his stuff. But the neighbor's dog, she sometimes lets him in my backyard, and this is one of those big dogs that has big stuff. And so then I'm walking and I'm doing something and my foot gets in the big stuff. Now, I could go, sorry, this is bad, but I could go right inside, take my shoe off and get it clean. Or I can just keep walking in the yard and just do this thing. Just like, I don't really have a dog stuff problem. And as I keep walking, it doesn't smell as bad. I eventually forget about it. And then I walk inside the house and sometimes I notice, like on the floor, right? Oh, that's bad. I know. Sorry. I think we're going to just be thinking about this for minutes. But it's just like that. You keep walking in the grass, out of the path of light, out of the place that just says, this is bad, then you eventually forget. You eventually do this. You deceive yourself. You say that you have no sin. That thing that you did, because you didn't call it a sin, you stop realizing that it's a sin. You stop feeling like you even have the problem. And what's happened is your conscience gets tricked and you deceive yourself. The truth, which exposes everything, like this is true, you actually do have the dog stuff, the truth is not there anymore because you didn't allow it to really dwell within you, because you landed your foot in the darkness and you kept walking that way. All right, so this is actually what happens. The way that we deceive ourselves all the time is because we don't regularly confess our sins. So as a Christian that's walking in the light, as we mature, we come and we have in that fellowship experience where our light's increasing. But as we're just maintaining our walk, we're constantly confessing our sins. We're constantly confessing our mistakes. The mistake may not even be something so big, and someone on that's right next to you may say, like, that wasn't a sin. But if it's in your light measure, if it's all that God has shown you, and it's a neglect, not something you did, but something you didn't do, or if it's something just not in the full amount that he'd have you walk, if you would name it as a sin and say, Lord, I didn't walk as I would if it was me in Christ. I walked my own way, and forgive me. As you apologize, the blood washes you clean. You're not tricked. You know what's sin. You know that you have a sin problem, and you know whenever you walk apart from the life of Christ, you sin. You're not getting confused about this sin factory that's there. And you remember that you have the option to live the life of Christ or to live my old life. If you keep that always clear, you have no problem with your failures. You just know what to do with them. Jesus' blood washes you clean. But we have to bring them into a normal confession. So if I asked us right now in this room, I can ask, we'll raise our hands. How many have been forgiven of sins in the last year? Raise your hand. If it's happened in the last year that you've had your sins forgiven, now this would be odd to be shy about, because if you haven't had your sins forgiven in the last year, I say you're not walking in the light. Now, how many have had their sins forgiven in the last month? Raise your hand. If you haven't had your sins forgiven in the last month, probably you're not walking in the light. Now, I know some are probably not raising their hands because they think I'm just doing this in a rhetorical way, like the rhetorical hand, right? But all you guys have Tyrannosaurus Rex hands. You're just like this, you know, a little bit scared. But actually, if it's been days, you got to wonder, is something wrong? I'm not saying that you should sin every day. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we shouldn't deceive ourselves and think that when we make our mistakes that we can just keep that on the side and not actually confess it. All right, so there's that package. It's the package of regularly maintaining a clean conscience. If you don't keep a clean conscience before the Lord, you end up tricking your conscience. That's why you deceive yourselves. That's why the truth is not in you. And sometimes it takes a big reviving to bring you back. When this happens to you and you deceive yourself, you end up... Are you raising your hand? Okay, go ahead. Very good question.
What is the proof or evidence I can hold on to that I know I'm forgiven?
Okay, so the first question is confession enough? Now, here's the way it works. Confession is not just admitting to say, Lord, this is a sin. It doesn't just mean, like, if you're happy about your sin, you're saying, yeah, I did that sin, and you start just admitting it. That's a little bit different. Confession is when you agree with God and you hate your sin. It doesn't have to be a feeling of hate. You may actually love doing that, but you agree that's a sin, and I repent from it. So packaged in the word confession is the heart of repentance. It does mean it's a change of attitude towards that action. Confess it as a sin. If you actually love the thing, you don't really call it a sin. You admit that you did it. You admit that others would call it a sin. But to you, it's not really so bad. So you're not. That's not confession. Confessing a sin, you actually repent from it. You don't want to do it. Now, why is this enough? Because, let me skip ahead. I'll show you a verse up here. And, oh, here we go. Right there. All right. It gets dizzy. A little bit. Look at this. If anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, the provision for our sins. The reason this works is Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the one who never sinned, stands before the Father, the one who has his hands pierced, his side pierced, the one who died for our sins, is our advocate. He's the one praying on our behalf, the one representing us to the Father and saying, I died for them. So when you confess your sins, what happens with the Godhead is, as far as the Father is concerned, it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous. Now, God can't change his mind, and his mind was, if he's going to be faithful and if he's going to be right, if he's going to be faithful, he said, all that come to Christ would, like, he, that the death on the cross was enough for all sins. It is finished on the cross. So that's the redemption price. The price for my sins is Jesus dying on the cross. Jesus, the righteous one, died for all my unrighteous sins. And because of that, if God is going to be righteous, he must forgive us of our sins because Jesus died for them. If our confession of sins has to do with Jesus dying for us, then God the Father must forgive us of our sins because otherwise God would be unrighteous. It would be unrighteous of God to say, I don't feel like forgiving anyone of their sins today. Having Jesus, the righteous one, standing right before him, who died for all of our sins, and it actually worked and it actually counts for all eternity, he just can't do it. So that's why confession is actually enough. It's not that confession alone is enough, it's that Jesus's death on the cross is enough for all sins. What was the second question again? Do you guys remember? How do you know they're forgiven? Because God is faithful and righteous. Actually, it's because of, we can actually use 1 John 1:9. How do I know? Because the Word of God says it. Oh, there's it right there. It's an if then. If I confess my sins, then God will forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. The way that I know it happened is because Jesus died for my sins. And if I do my part and confess my sins, he will always do his part. The only reason this would not work is if I don't do my part, because the part of Jesus is already done. It already happened on the cross. So I don't have to wait till I feel better. I don't have to wait until I feel closer to God. All I have to do is genuinely say, Lord, I apologize for my sins. I confess this as a sin. I want to walk with you. And then the blood cleanses me from my sin and forgives me. Does that make a little bit of sense? Is that working? Okay. All right, now, were we on this one? Yes. This package, right? And if okay, so now let's remember, we're wanting to get into something more advanced, not stay with just coming back to the Lord. We need times of coming back to the light, but we actually want to learn how to stay in the light. So in the way of staying in the light, it's so important, as soon as we make our sin mistakes, or as soon as we neglect something that we know we should have done, as soon as that happens, we confess it and get cleansed by the blood. There are times where there's a major deal and a major sin and a major confession. It seems like a big life-changing repentance. But there's the daily walking in the light that's just the steady, as soon as my conscience is convicted, I repent. If you do that, you maintain your joy. You maintain the joyful Christian life. And you maintain this way of actually walking. You never get cloudy in your conscience, wondering what's right, what's wrong, I'm not totally sure. You just maintain a very clean conscience. All right, let's get into another experience. This another one-footed person. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Okay, now a surface reading of this one. It's just like what we said earlier. We say something is not a sin. God's word has come to us. Now, where would God's word come to? It's the word of conviction. It comes to your conscience. So let's say in your conscience you feel like this was a sin. And then you say, no, that's not a sin. Now, who am I calling a liar? I'm calling the convicting message from the Holy Spirit to my conscience. I'm calling God a liar. That's what it says right here. We make him a liar, or some would say we call him a liar. Now, are you really calling God a liar? I don't think anybody in here is saying, I have not sinned, and God, I think you're a liar, right? Like, nobody says that. And actually, in the book of Hebrews, it says God cannot lie. It says it a couple of places. Of course God cannot lie. This is something that God cannot do. God's not a liar. But we sometimes accidentally call him a liar when we reject the conviction on our conscience. The word comes to us and says, that's a sin. And we say, no, that's not a sin. It's just a mistake. It's just my personality. It's just me, with my character flaw. I'll do better later. And what happened? We didn't confess it. So instead, we reject God's word. Next thing you know, his convicting word cannot stay in us, and we're in a conflict with God himself. Okay, that's a surface thing with it. I think sometimes people may do this. I think it's not your common experience. with everyone in this room, if you're trying to walk with the Lord, I don't think it's the thing you run into the most. You're not always like saying that. You might argue with your conscience with convictions. But let's look at the positive side of it. We have an advocate. My children, these things I write to you in order that you may not sin. If anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. Does anybody have a different word than propitiation? What do you got? Substitution? Okay, that's a good one. Provision, some would say. Anybody got anything else? Does anybody have propitiation in their Bibles? You got it? Okay. Cool. Is that a word that you normally use?
Appeasement,
that's a good one. Yeah. What translation is that? Google? Okay. The Google Bible. Okay. This is packaged with the one we just looked at. This is the way of walking in the light. So let's look at this. In this experience of walking in the light, he's saying something special here this time. It's not to do with sin that you've done. He actually says, I write in order that you may not sin. So we need to have this concept in mind. Walking in the light, part of walking in the light is actually not sinning. Coming to the light, you're dealing with your sins. But walking in the light, sometimes at least, as you're taking steps by the life of Christ and his life is in you and you're living this joyful Christian life, it's not that every moment you're sinning. And so even as we're dealing with our sins with the blood, we actually begin to overcome sins. We begin, as you confess your sins more and more, if you confess a sin 100 times, you hate it 100 times more. You hate these sins more and more, and it ends up becoming more and more of your habit to walk in the light instead of walk in the darkness, or actually to not sin, to not do those sins. You know, if you're going to do the sin, you're just going to confess it right away anyway and apologize for it. And so your love for the sin begins to actually decrease. But here he goes into the provision. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And here the whole viewpoint is not on my sins and on how I deal with it and my confession and all of these things. Now the whole focus is on the person of Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Everything that we're supposed to see when we're walking in the light is actually Christ himself, the righteous one. Our whole view, as we're dealing with our sins, as we're confessing, as we're receiving more light, everything like that, we see him standing there before the Father, praying for us to come all the way, encouraging us, travailing for us, helping pick us back up, the friend of us, bringing us out of the dirt that we're in, keeping us on the pathway of light. He's our advocate. He's our encourager. He's our patron. He's the one standing for us and praying for us and interceding for us. So there he is standing there. If you see him there, you see that you can overcome. So here's our common problem. Let's go back to the darkness one as we look at this package. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, when would you most likely do this? It's actually with your repeat sins. This is the time you actually most likely start to reject God's conviction. Would you like some water? I have some right here. You sure? Okay. All right. If you've sinned 10 times, the same sin, and then you sin another 11th time, and then you sin a 12th time, and then you sin a 13th time, and then you sin a 14th time, and you guys are getting angry at me. Is that how you feel, though? The 15th time comes, just like, is this a sin? 16th time comes. You confess your sin. You apologize. This time I'll never do it again. 17th time comes. 18th time comes. How do I walk in the light with this experience? And I I'd guarantee every Christian that you grab has at least one thing that they easily fail at. One thing that for them can easily become a repeating sin that they have to learn how to overcome in a special way. The Lord, like it says in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. This is the Lord Jesus talking about abiding in him and him being the vine. But there's always something that you can't overcome without Christ. It could be something very small. It could be something to do with food, which seems like that's nothing. Or it can be something to do with lust. It could be something to do with lying. It could be something to do with stealing. Or it could be something to do with the thoughts that go on of judging other people. It can be an anger issue. It can be another thing. Whatever it is, you find yourself confessing it, repenting. Many of the things that you repent from, you begin to overcome and you just don't do them anymore. You hate it and it's not part of your life. You've given it up. You consecrate yourself. You're walking with the Lord. You never do this again. But if you have this repeating sin and you go to number 19, the temptation that comes to walk in darkness is to start rejecting the word of conviction. It's actually his words coming to me the 19th time. And you're just like, you know, I'm not even going to apologize this time. You just feel like, I'm not even sure if that is a sin. You start to question things. You start to make God a liar. You start to wonder, is it even possible for me to overcome? Whenever I repent, I feel like I should walk like this. But whenever I start to walk out, I don't walk like that. And what is wrong? Is the good news good enough to save me to the uttermost? Is the gospel powerful enough to deliver me from my sinning habit? Is this a possibility? And so this is the despair of a Christian. And there's one way to overcome. This is not the way, of course. This is the way of darkness, where we start to get confused. We start to actually question the conviction that's coming. You basically start to learn to live with your sin. I probably can guess that we've experienced this in this room. You've started to learn to live with your sin and just expect it. And it's like, according to my history, I usually sin about this time of the week, or I usually, whatever it is. And so you learn to do that, and what's happening is his word stops coming to you of conviction. It just becomes your habit. And you stop walking in the light. This is a depression that happens with Christians. This is a despair. And it's totally unnecessary. So let's go back to this. I write these things to you in order that you may not sin. If you sin, look at Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Stop looking at yourself. There's no number 19. There's actually never a number 2. There's only a number 1. Whenever you confess your sins, it's the first confession. You don't reach number 20. You don't reach number 21. Now, of course, we can look at it logically, and if you kept a record of your mistakes in the time period, you'd say, I've sinned 20 times with this specific sin. That's true. I'm not trying to trick ourselves into some wild thought. But actually, who you are in Christ, when you see Jesus Christ, the righteous one, when you step into the life of Christ and the way of the light walking, that you may not sin anymore, when you come back into the pathway of light, you realize Jesus Christ, the righteous one, never sins. And in him, I'm able to never sin again. My history in Christ is an overcoming history. I have never sinned walking in Christ. On the pathway of light, I've actually never sinned walking by the life of Christ. True, when I live by my own life, I always sin. And it seems like I always fall into this one habit of sin. So I have a big history of sinning in my old life. But I have a zero history of sinning in the new life in Christ. And so the way through with your habits of sin, your repeating sin, is to realize that I'm crucified with Christ. No longer live I, but Christ lives in me. This is like the Galatians 2:20 verse. It's seeing Jesus Christ, the righteous one, and confessing him as the overcomer and saying, I hide myself in Christ who's always overcoming. Now, what happens if you do this regularly? Now, let's just look at it technically for a moment. Now, remember, as far as your conscience is concerned, as far as your walk goes, every time you confess, you're not at number 20 or 21 or 22. You have a clean history in Christ. So remember that. When you're stepping in the pathway of light, you land in Christ and he's never sinned. But if you look at it, if we just step aside ourselves and watch a Christian grow, and we see them with their repeating sin, at number 5, if they keep coming to him, not just confessing and trying, but by number 10, they're like, I'm not going to try anymore. But Lord, I hate this sin. You can live in me and you can overcome. By number 20, they're like, Christ in me is the victor, but I will never be the victor. By number 30, they confess again. I see Christ, the righteous one. Lord, don't give up on me. I'll never give up on you. I mean, you'll never give up on me, and I see that. I give up on me. And then eventually you find yourself, you're walking in Christ. You realize, in Christ I never sin. What happens is you ignore the old way. You ignore this one who always keeps sinning. And if someone was looking on the side, they see a decrease in the number of times of that sin over time. Now, we don't have to look at it that way. We just have to look at it as far as our experience goes. We just have to see, in Christ, I never sin. And we have to behold Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And these things are written so we would not sin. He's the advocate. He's the one praying for me. When you get in despair over your sins and you realize, I keep sinning, I can never overcome this thing. In the moment of despair, you see Jesus Christ standing before the Father praying for you. And you see him with his pierced hands who died for you, and he's standing for you, and he's helping you get up. It's only when we fix our eyes on him that we can actually overcome these sins that we can never overcome by ourselves. So this is our way of walking in the light, is to fix our eyes on him. We find ourselves looking at ourselves in despair. We find ourselves walking in the darkness. So with these three ways of, these are actually these three pairs of walking, we actually have the ability to regularly walk in the light constantly. Remember that first way is we're actually growing by receiving from each other. And the blood's washing us clean from darkness that we didn't even know about. So we walk in the light as he is in the light. And then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, washes us from all sin. That's one way that we're regularly walking in the light. And the other thing that we're doing is whatever your measure is, as soon as you make the smallest of mistakes, don't treat it as something different than a sin. Just confess it. And let the blood of God's Son wash us clean constantly because Jesus died for those sins. And now this isn't to get saved again. This confession isn't to go to heaven. This is just to keep a close communion with the Lord, just to fellowship with the Lord. We're never getting saved again. We're actually just staying close to the Lord like that. But then the third thing is you find yourself not able to overcome. And it's because you cannot ever overcome without Christ. And that's the discovery that happens with walking in the light. So if you will not give up, but in the moment of despair, look up instead, and you see Jesus Christ, the righteous one, you'll see the way through, and you'll see the way to overcome. And next thing you know, the time of temptation comes, and this is about to be number 43 of this sin. But as the time of temptation comes, your habit has been to look up at Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Whenever that sin comes up, you've trained your spiritual eyes to look up at him, the one who delivers you from all sin. And as that habit has happened, it gets closer and closer to the time of temptation. And before you fall into sin, you go ahead and look up. And he doesn't just bring you out of your sin and cleanse you. He brings you to overcome the sin. And you don't do number 43. You just cling on to him who's praying for you. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, your advocate with the Father. And you actually overcome your sin. That's walking in the light. All right, let's pray together. We'll finish up. Lord, we want to take these things before you. Just this ability to actually regularly, steadily walk in the light. Lord, I pray for all of us in this room, even if this isn't our habit, that you would bring us into this regular way of walking. Lord, I pray for those that are struggling with a sin that they've been doing so many times and they've already given up and are in despair, that they would fix their eyes on you and see that you're standing for them and praying for them and bringing them through. Lord, we just want to turn our attention to you and confess that you are able to strengthen us. You are able to overcome in us. And you are the one who's died for all sins. And with you, we can have all of our sins forgiven. Lord, we want to take all these sins from the past or other things where we know we haven't been walking in and just freely confess our sins before you and say that we bring them to you, Lord, and turn away from them. And thank you for loving us, but thank you for being the righteous God who always forgives us and washes us clean from our sins. And Lord, we take any areas of confusion where we've deceived ourselves not maintaining a clean conscience. Lord, I pray that you would bring things back to mind. Pray for all of us in this room that things that you've shown us in the past, that they would come back to our hearts, that you would clear the way with our conscience, that they'd be alive again and be free to hear from you and have your word of conviction resting there and the truth really dwelling within us, that we can walk in the full measure and practice the truth that you're calling us to. Just commit ourselves to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you, guys.